The reading is from Jeremiah chapter 10. In these black Bibles, they can be found on page 772. 772. That's Jeremiah chapter 10. And we'll read the whole of the chapter, verses 1 to 25. Hear the word that the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the nations, nor be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, because the nations are dismayed at them. For the customs of the peoples are vanity. A tree from the forest is cut down and worked with an axe by the hands of a craftsman. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so that it cannot move. Their idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field, and they cannot speak. They have to be carried, for they cannot walk. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither is it in them to do good. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your due. For among all the wise ones of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. They are both stupid and foolish. The instruction of idols is but wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish and gold from Uphaz. They are the work of the craftsman and of the hands of the goldsmith. Their clothing is violet and purple. They are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus shall you say to them, the gods who did not make the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he makes the mist rise from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain, and he brings forth the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his images are false, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of delusion. At the time of their punishment, they shall perish. Not like these is he who is the portion of Jacob, for he is the one who formed all things. And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Gather up your bundle from the ground, O you who dwell under siege. For thus says the Lord, behold, I am slinging out the inhabitants of the land at this time, and I will bring distress on them, that they may feel it. Woe is me because of my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly this is an affliction, and I must bear it. My tent is destroyed, and all my cords are broken. My children have gone from me, and they are not. There is no one to spread my tent again and to set up my curtains. For the shepherds are stupid and do not inquire of the Lord. Therefore they have not prospered, and all their flock is scattered. A voice, a rumor, behold, it comes, a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah a desolation, a lair of jackals. I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. Correct me, O Lord, but in justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. Pour out your wrath on the nations that know you not, and on the peoples that call not on your name, for they have devoured Jacob, they have devoured him and consumed him, and have laid waste his habitation. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, and we thank you so much for the privilege of gathering together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, please, Father, may we hear your word to us now and understand it. And please, would you transform our lives in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Twenty-five percent of the world's population worship Allah and follow Islam. 15% worship Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, and follow Hinduism. And another 15 describe themselves as atheist or agnostic, and they just follow the prevailing ideologies of the day. And they might follow capitalism and worship money, or they might follow liberalism and worship autonomy and freedom of self-expression. But the one thing you mustn't do, this is what we're told, isn't it? The one thing you mustn't do is question anyone else's beliefs or way of life. So why shouldn't we just follow everyone else? Why couldn't we follow another religion or way of life? Or at the very least, why wouldn't we just keep quiet and pretend to follow along when necessary? Now, there might be some people here who do follow one of those religions or ways of life. And can I say, it's great that you're here, and I'd love to offer you a warm welcome, and particularly because I'm aware that this might be a very sensitive topic that we're talking about this evening. Now, other people here might be tempted to follow capitalism and worship money. You're tempted to set your hope on riches, having enough riches to live a comfortable or even luxurious lifestyle. Yet I suspect that many of us here aren't really tempted to follow one of those religions or ways of life, at least not officially, but we might be tempted to keep quiet and just follow along externally. And we're not tempted to become Muslims, but we are afraid to speak out against Islam. And we're not tempted to worship metal idols, but we wouldn't want to oppose anyone else's religion. And we're not thinking about joining the LGBT, but would prefer not to speak out against its ideology. And surely the reason we're tempted to just keep quiet and follow along with all these is fear. Thousands of Christians are killed by Muslims each year. Many Christians are ostracized by Hindu family members. And in this country, people have lost their jobs or been expelled from their schools for questioning the LGBT ideology. And I think that's the reason most people won't question anyone's beliefs or way of life. And they might think they're just being nice, but actually it's because of fear. They're afraid they might be criticized or canceled. In some places, they're afraid they might be killed. And if we're afraid of those things too, we'll be tempted to just keep quiet and follow along with everyone else. But why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we just follow everyone else? Well, the people of Israel in the 6th century BC were asking just that question. They were being devoured by the other nations of the world. In particular, the northern kingdom of Israel had been destroyed by the nation of Assyria, and the southern kingdom was about to be devoured by the nation of Babylon. God's people were being scattered among all the nations of the world, so why wouldn't they just follow everyone else? If they learned the way of the nations and followed along, wouldn't that just make life easier for them? Wouldn't it be wise of them to just keep quiet and not say anything against the gods or the customs of the nations? Well, the Lord God says otherwise, as it's written at the beginning of Jeremiah chapter 10. Hear the word that the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the nations, nor be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, because the nations are dismayed at them. God says not to follow everyone else, and he says not to be afraid of the things everyone else is afraid of. But why? Why shouldn't we follow everyone else? Well, the first half of our answer is this: because everyone is being stupid. It might be shocking. In fact, I know that it is. But that's our first heading. Everyone is being stupid. When I was at university, I foolishly didn't do the hard work that I should have. and I failed my degree with some spectacularly low scores in my exams. So my stupidity was clear for all to see. But that's not really the sort of thing I'm talking about. I'm not talking about having a low IQ or about failing exams. I'm talking about something a lot more ridiculous and at the same time, a lot more serious than any of that. I'm talking about idolatry. Everyone is being stupid because their dumb idols are powerless. For thus says the Lord, according to verse 3, the customs of the peoples are vanity. A tree from the forest is cut down and worked with an axe by the hands of a craftsman. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so that it cannot move. Their idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field, and they cannot speak. They have to be carried, for they cannot walk. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither is it in them to do good. Everyone is being stupid because their dumb idols are powerless. Man-made gods can't do anything. There's a sleepy little village in Japan called Nagoro, where not much really happens. It has a population of about 20 human beings and 200 scarecrows. There are scarecrows tending to farms, fixing telephone lines, and waiting for the bus. No wonder not much really happens in Nagoro. Now, some birds might be scared off when they see them, but human beings shouldn't be scared of a man-made image that can't do anything. Yet millions of people fear gods made of wood, metal, or stone. They bow down and worship them. Now, I know this isn't very PC, but 15% of the world's population are being foolish because Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva are dumb idols that can't do anything. But it's not just physical idols that are ridiculous. Starting in the year 610 AD, and when he was just 40 years old, Muhammad went into a cave alone. Over the next 23 years, he claimed that an angel repeatedly appeared to him in that cave, always when he was alone. And he claimed that this angel revealed the words of Allah to him, the words of the Quran. And there was no glory visible for everyone to see, no prophecies fulfilled in front of the world's eyes, just Muhammad in a cave on his own. And yet 25% of the world's population is afraid of Allah, and they bow down to worship him five times a day. Now, I'm aware that this could get me into a lot of trouble for saying this, but they're being foolish. Allah is a dumb idol that can't do anything. And it's not only religious idols that are ridiculous. Money talks, the saying goes. Meaning money has power to influence people's actions and decisions. But it shouldn't really, should it? And money has no power over someone who is content. Money only has the power that you ascribe to it. It's man-made and it's powerless in and of itself. In fact, money's powerless to make you happy. It's certainly powerless to make you wise. And it can't even guarantee that you'll be able to keep it in this lifetime, let alone the next. Yet its billions of worshippers ascribe to it great power and influence in their lives. Now, it's not that money is itself a bad thing. It's good to have enough money to have sufficient food and clothing. It's wise to be prudent with it. It's not even a bad thing to be rich, as long as you're generous with it. But what is stupid is setting your hope on the uncertainty of riches, being afraid that you won't have enough to be comfortable in life, ascribing to money a position of great power and influence in your life. And money's a dumb idol that's ultimately powerless. And now I could stop there, and some of you might be wondering or wishing that I'd never started in the first place. But I think I really should talk about the newest idol on the block. And the idol of autonomy is not new. Playing God and pretending that you have the freedom to define yourself however you like isn't really new, but the particular shape it's taken in the LGBT ideology is rather newfangled. And people think that they can define their sexuality however they like. They think they can define their gender however they like. Some even think they can define their species however they like. and they don't seem to mind whether their self-defined identity corresponds to reality or not. And now it's self-evident to everyone that a human being is not, in fact, a cat. It should be self-evident that a girl is not a boy. And it really should be obvious that men have been created to have sex with women in order to have children, and that in this way a new family grows. Now, the fact that in this fallen world, people have desires that don't always correspond to that given reality shouldn't call into question what's clear for all to see. I mean, we all have all sorts of desires that are obviously not good. I know that I do. But that doesn't mean that we should act on these desires and try to overturn reality itself. And now, I am aware that at this particular moment in time, these are very controversial things that I'm saying. And if you're here, if you're listening, and this is something that you personally are wrestling through at the moment, may I encourage you to talk to someone about it. You're welcome to talk to me if you'd like, but I understand if you'd prefer not to. I'm speaking very clearly about these things because I want you to live in line with reality and because I don't want us to be afraid to question these things. The LGBT ideology is obviously man-made. People are trying to play God, but they don't have the power to do so. They're powerless to actually change reality, no matter how hard they might try. Now, why shouldn't we just follow everyone else? Because everyone's being stupid. Their dumb idols are powerless. They're like scarecrows, and everyone is cowering in fear. And so, as the Lord says, according to the end of verse 5, don't be afraid of them. Now, don't be afraid of what everyone else is afraid of. In fact, we should have pity on them. We should have compassion on them. Because they and their idols can't endure God's wrath. You might have wondered, and you might still be wondering, why we can't just keep quiet about these things and leave people to do whatever they want. Well, here's the reason. Because there is a true God, and these people and their idols can't endure God's wrath. As it's written in verse 6, there is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your due. For among all the wise ones of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. They are both stupid and foolish. The instruction of idols is but wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz. They are the work of the craftsmen of the hands of the goldsmith. Their clothing is violet and purple. They are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. The nations and their idols can't endure God's wrath. We should all fear the true God and worship him. But everyone's being stupid because they're in rebellion against him. They won't call on his name, but instead they make and worship idols. So in the end, when the true God comes in judgment to right every wrong, such people and their idols won't be able to endure his wrath. Hawaii is home to the world's largest active volcano, at Mauna Loa, but Kilauea is historically the island's most deadly volcano. Now, usually accompanied by violent earthquakes and toxic gas, the molten lava has destroyed hundreds of houses and has killed scores of people. Now, since early 2018, it has been erupting more or less continuously. But thanks to regular monitoring and the new technology, no one needs to die anymore. They're warned in time and they can flee before the coming devastation. But in April 2018, when residents had been ordered to evacuate, Joyce Jennett and her husband Roger refused to leave. And particularly concerned about their artwork and jewellery, they didn't want to leave their house behind so that it could be looted by others. Roger and Joyce They were being foolish. Their house was powerless compared to the volcano. They and their house, together with all their artwork and jewelry, would perish. And everyone is being similarly foolish because their dumb idols are powerless compared to the true God. And they and their idols will perish. They can't endure God's wrath. And that's why we mustn't keep quiet. And that's why we need to warn people. And that's why God's people were to say to the nations the words of verse 11. And thus shall you say to them, the gods who did not make the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. And we need to speak out against everyone's idolatry because they and their idols won't be able to endure God's wrath. I get scared pretty easily. I'm afraid of people not liking me. I really don't like being shunned or being criticized, and I don't particularly want to be killed. So when I have the opportunity to keep quiet and just go along with everyone's beliefs, or the opportunity to speak out against them and call people to repent, I'm always tempted to keep quiet. And so I'm preaching to myself. I need to remember that everyone is being stupid. Although obviously I don't always need to say it like that. And of course it requires wisdom to know how to say these things to different people in personal conversations. But I do always need to remember that they and their idols can't endure God's wrath. I do always need to have compassion on them and warn them of the coming judgment. And you do too. Now why shouldn't we just follow everyone else? Because everyone's being stupid. Their dumb idols are powerless. They and their idols can't endure God's wrath. But again, I'm aware that I'm in great danger of being misunderstood. You might think that I'm saying that everyone else is stupid and I'm not. You might think I'm looking down at my rather big nose and judging people for their folly, thinking I could never be like that. But that's not the case at all. Although it is true, I have a rather big nose. But no, it's not that I could never be that stupid. On the contrary, I have been, and I'm still tempted to be. And for the first 17 years of my life, I was an idolater. And I was living as if I was God, and which is the most stupid thing I could have done. I was the center of my life, and I lived in fear of people not liking me, fear of being criticized, fear of life not being comfortable. And I'm still tempted to live like that today. So it's not that everyone else is stupid and I could never be like that. No, the difference isn't between everyone else and me. The difference is between their idols and my God, our God, the Lord, because he made everything. And that's the second half of our answer. Now, why shouldn't we just follow everyone else? Why instead should we follow the Lord and call upon his name publicly and without fear? Because the Lord made everything, as it's written in verse 12. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he makes the mist rise from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and he brings forth the wind from his storehouses. The Lord made everything. Now, whereas dumb idols are powerless, his wise word is all powerful. Everything was created at his command, and he made all things by his wisdom. In 1913, chemist Lawrence Henderson wrote The Fitness of the Environment and pointed out that life depends entirely on Earth's very specific environmental conditions, especially the prevalence and properties of water. In 1961, physicist Robert Dicke claimed that certain forces, such as gravity and electromagnetism, must also be perfectly fine-tuned for life to exist in the universe. As Professor Stephen Hawking has noted, the laws of science, as we know them at present, contain many fundamental numbers, like the size of the electric charge of the electron and the ratio of the masses of the proton and the electron. The remarkable fact, says Hawking, is that the value of these numbers seems to have been very finely adjusted to make possible the development of life. That leading scientists are just beginning to understand a few things about how life and the universe work, but God understands it all. In fact, he's so wise that he made it all in the beginning. And so everything that happens in the world still happens at his command, because his wise word is all-powerful. Several years ago, I was leading on a summer camp at a place called Woolhampton, when there was the most almighty thunderstorm. The whole building was shaking. We were all terrified. I was meant to be reassuring the children on the camp, but my heart was pounding at hundreds of beats a minute. Well, such is the power of the word of the Lord. When he utters his voice, the rain falls, the lightning thunders, and he brings forth the wind. Everything that happens in the world happens at his command, because his wise word is all powerful. And so we don't need to be afraid to call on his name in public. We don't need to be afraid about what might happen to us if we question people's beliefs and way of life, because everything that happens in the world happens at the Lord's command. Now, Muslims might kill thousands of Christians each year. Now, Hindus might ostracize family members who convert to Christianity. The LGBT agenda might get you fired or kicked out of school. But God is in complete control. Everything happens at his command, because his wise word is all-powerful. But that might not fill you with confidence, and that might not have taken away all your fears. Now, sure, God might be in control, but I still don't want to suffer like that. Now, life still seems to be better for everyone who just follows the world. At the very least, my life would be more comfortable if I just kept quiet and followed along with everyone else. And so why shouldn't we just follow everyone else and have an easier life? Why should we follow the Lord if that's going to involve suffering and difficulty? Well, because he and his people shall endure forever. The Lord and his people shall endure forever. Thus says the Lord, according to verse 14, every man is stupid and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his images are false and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of delusion. At the time of their punishment, they shall perish. Not like these is he who is the portion of Jacob, for he is the one who formed all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. And the Lord made everything, and he and his people shall endure forever. And whereas everyone else and their idols can't endure God's wrath, the Lord and his people shall endure forever. And there might be suffering and difficulty along the way, but in the end, the Lord and his people shall enjoy an eternal inheritance. And the journey had been difficult and at times painful, but finally they'd made it. They'd been up early all week, but today was the last day. So they rose early at dawn and they walked around the city 7 times. At the Lord's command, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. But the people of Israel, God's people, went in and took possession of the land. And the Lord and his people had an inheritance to enjoy. And so will it be at the end of history. And people and their idols won't be able to endure God's wrath, but the Lord and his people will have an eternal inheritance to enjoy. And so that's why we shouldn't just follow everyone else. And that's why we should follow the Lord and call on his name publicly and without fear, because the Lord and his people shall endure forever. Now, God is in complete control. Everything happens at his command, and this is the end to which he's working all things. In all things, God is working for the good of those who love him. He's working all things towards his people's entry into his eternal inheritance. But why should we believe that? And I said that all other gods were man-made, so how do we know that this isn't all made up? How do we know that the Lord is the true God? Well, because not only does his wisdom shine through his word, but also because his word has come true in history. In the first place, his word came true in the 6th century BC. The people of Israel were devoured by the nation of Babylon, just as God had said. And 70 years later, they did return to their land to enjoy their inheritance, just as God had said. But ultimately, God's word has come true in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus never just followed everyone else, did he? He spoke against idolatry and sin. He called people to repent, and he warned them of the wrath to come. And of course, Jesus' life was full of suffering and difficulty. He was rejected and killed, just as God had said he would be. But God raised him from the dead and gave him an eternal inheritance to enjoy. The Lord Jesus Christ and his people shall endure forever. And that has been the story of the last 2,000 years. Now, Muslims might kill thousands of Christians each year, but in the Lord's wisdom, a Christian's death leads to resurrection and life. Hindus might ostracize Christian family members. The LGBT agenda might get you fired. But in the Lord's wisdom, persecution refines our faith and strengthens our hope for our eternal inheritance. So don't be afraid. Call on the name of Jesus and he will save you. And confess the name of Jesus in public so that he might save others. Now, why shouldn't we just follow everyone else? Because everyone else is being stupid. Their dumb idols are powerless, and they and their idols can't endure God's wrath. But the Lord made everything. His wise word is all powerful, and he and his people shall endure forever. So let's pray to the Lord in Jesus' name. Our Father in heaven, and we confess to you that we have often been foolish and stupid in our lives, and we're sorry for when we are afraid of what everyone else is afraid of, and when we don't fear you rightly. And please forgive us. Please have mercy on us in Jesus' name. And please would you give us courage and teach us to go out into the world and not to be afraid of what everyone else is afraid of, and not to follow everyone else, but to follow your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that through the hardship and the difficulty that will come our way, that you would keep us hoping for and looking forward to our eternal inheritance with you. In Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.